Perek Yud Aleph, things start to go bad in the desert. Till then, we were on a trajectory heading, I would assume, to the land of Israel without any more things in the way. And something goes wrong. And whether we've spoken in the past, whether it's one episode or two episodes, Pasuk Dalet says, "V'asaf sufa shirbikir bo tavuta avav v'yishvu v'yivku gam b'nei Yisrael v'yomu miyach leinu basar." The asaf suf start within their midst. They have desires, and they cry, and also the children of Israel, which therefore makes the sound like the asaf sufa, not among the children of Israel. They're somehow set apart. Soon, a fire comes down and swallows up part of the camp, and so on and so forth. Vayom Moshe Hashem lamayrot lavadecha v'lama lamatzati chen beinecha l'sum et masakol zemalai. And here Moshe goes into a soliloquy, and he complains. He complains bitterly. He complains about all these people that have been placed on him. Anochi hariti et kol amaze. Did I give birth to all these people? Imanochi el datiu ki tomar elai sa'eu bechekech kashi sa'u manete yonek al adama shenishbat el avotav. You know, how can I take care of them? Lo uchal anochi levadi laseit et kol ha'am hazeh, ki kaved mimeni. I cannot by myself carry the burden of this entire people. They're too heavy for me. V'im kacha atoseli, and if this is how you're going to treat me, hargeni na harog imatzati chen beinecha va'al er'e berati. If this is how you're going to treat me, then please kill me so that you won't see me in this terrible situation. God does not acquiesce to Moshe's request of ending his life at this juncture. Rather, it says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, esafali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael. Gather for me 70 men, elders of Israel, Sheyadata, who you know. These are the elders of the people, Vishotrav, and those who police them, Vilakachta Otam, and take them, El Ohomoid, Vihityatzvu, Sham Imach, and let them there be established together with you." So Moshe's problem that he raises is that there is simply too much of a burden on him individually. He turns to God and says, "I can't do it." And God says, "Gather 70 elders." Now, what I'm going to try to do today is to raise a... First of all, well, not try. What I'm going to do is I'm going to raise a question which a number of the commentaries in Midrashim raise. What happened to the other support staff that were around? And we know that there was support staff around. And for that matter, we actually know that there were 70 elders around. So what exactly happened to the others that were here till now? And in order to do that, what we're going to do is we're going to trace through the commentaries and trace through some of the verses and trace through the Midrashim, look in three different places and see how they answer this basic question. Meaning, why is it that Moshe feels that he's all alone at this point, where the response is, okay, get 70 elders, and we'll start with a simple comment of the Targum Yonatan, "Vayomer Hashem leMoshe, sof leShmi, Shivim Anashim Tzadikim." I don't know if you noticed Tzadikim in the text itself. "Mizikne Yisrael, Sheyadata, Shehema Yuzikne Am Vishotrav Bimitrayim." These are the ones who were the leaders of the people, and those are the ones policing on them in Egypt. Now that itself is interesting, to go back and to say that they were the elders in Egypt, and we'll see as we continue on. The Targum Yonatan is not the only one to say it, and we'll see that Rashi himself says it, both here and previously. "Asafali," Rashi writes in source 3, "Harei tshuva l'tlunotcha shemarti lochal anochi levadi." Right? This is the response to your stated inability to manage the people. Gather. "V'hazkenim arishonim heichan hayu." Where are the previous elders? "V'lo af b'Mitzrayim yashvu imahem." Already in Egypt there were elders. "Shenemar lech vasafta tzeknei Yisrael, ela be'esh tiv'ara meitu. Which means, according to what Rashi's telling us here, is just now, right before this, we're told that a fire went out, and a fire consumed the people, or some people. Rashi's telling us who was killed by that fire? The elders. Which elders? The elders that were already elders in Egypt. V'ro'im hayu l'kaf mi-Sinai, and they deserved this already from Sinai, d'chtiv v'chazu et Elokim. Shenagu kalot rosh. And this is what we had seen previously about Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu, remember we're told that Atzilei b'nei Yisrael lo, so they didn't do anything to the noble ones. So Rashi over here is telling us that the noble ones were not just Nadav and Avihu, it was also the elders. And they're like people who were sitting and chomping on their food as they're talking to the king. V'zeu, and that's what it means by the verse, v'yachlu v'yishtu, they were eating and drinking. V'lo ratza kodesh baruch hu litein avelut b'matan Torah ufara lehim kan. And God did not want to punish them there, therefore he punished, took revenge against them, vengeance against them over here, paid them back over here. So what we had previously had suspected about Nadav Avihu, over here Rashi's telling us that no, this is regarding the elders that were there before. Now, where were these elders? Rashi said these elders were already elders in Egypt. Now, I included another teaching, which I'm going to read to you from source 4. Before I read it to you from source 4, I do want you to know that Rashi says it over here as well. For some reason, I left it out. Over here, Rashi is going on the words. If you look back in Pasuk Tet Zayin, Vayomer Shemosha Asfali Shivim Ish Mizaknei Yisrael Asher Yodata, which means what is being added by Asher Yodata? If we read the verse again, we could have read it, Vayomer Shemosha Asfali Shivim Ish Mizaknei Yisrael. And that, and by the way, that could have been enough. That should have been the end of the verse. Gather me 70 people. But rather it adds, Asher Yodata, Kihem Zikneya'am Vishotrav. Now what's being added by saying you know them already, or you knew them already, and they are the elders and they are the Shotrav, which means what's the reference to over here? It means to be people that already have an established position. Vilakhta otam elomoid, and those ones you should choose. Here Rashi says on our pasuk, as I said, you don't have it here. Meaning, go and take those who were the taskmasters who absorbed the beatings of the Egyptians, the Shotrim in Mitzrayim, they're the ones who should now be appointed. So over here, it's interesting because in the two parts of Rashi, he makes reference to leadership in Egypt, but one, he makes reference to those who were the Zekinim in Egypt, and two, he makes reference to those who were the Shotrim in Egypt. And essentially saying that those who were the Zekinim in Egypt need to be replaced, and those who were the Shotrim in Egypt should be the ones to replace those who were the Zekinim. Rashi said it back in Shmot. Okay, so those of you who have a good memory, by the way, will remember where Rashi makes reference to our elders. Those of you who don't remember,
not this morning.
Those of you who don't remember will point out, because it will be a little surprising when and where Rashi actually made reference to these elders along the way. And we will stay with Rashi all the way through today. But as I said, you will afterwards say, oh yeah, maybe I remember such a thing. Yeah. Apparently. I'm saying it clearer than Rashi said it. Listen. I'm saying it clearer than Rashi said it. Rashi, in two different paragraphs here, in the same Rashi, A says that the Zekinim, he goes, again, go gather Zekinim. So Rashi says, but we already had Zekinim. When was the first time we already saw that we had Zekinim? And this will be much clearer in a minute when we start looking at the Psukim themselves. Rashi says we already had Zekinim in Egypt. Even before that we had Zekinim. So Rashi says we already had Zekinim. What happened to those Zekinim who were already Zekinim in Egypt? Those were killed just now in Parshat Balotcha, a couple verses before this, when there were people who want the meat and the fire comes out and consumes some people. So Rashi here is saying which people were consumed, those Zakenim were consumed. Those with the Zakenim already from Egypt we had Zakenim. Then Rashi says, appoint people that you already know. And now if you look at the Pasuk again, look at it again, it says, that you already knew. They are the elders and the shotrim. So Rashi is saying, oh, which shotrim? They were the ones who were the shotrim in Egypt. So the zekenim in Egypt are being replaced by the shotrim from Egypt. So if this isn't clear, as I said, we'll see the psukim, it will be clearer. But Rashi, in both instances over here, is going back to already leadership in Egypt. And there's a very simple reason for this. One is, well, generally we have this principle, the theory of conservation of characters. And we already have elders appointed before. We're going to, again, as I said, track through the elders. The other thing is, there's two more elements in this verse that Rashi needs to contend with. One is, why Vishotrav is being thrown in here? What does the Shotrav have to do with anything? Second, why would it say Asher Yadata? Asher Yadata seems to imply that there already is a familiarity with them. They're already people who are already known to you. So Rashi has, as I said, two problems. One is, what happened to the old elders? When you follow through the text, they were elders. Two, what happened? Who are these new people that you already know? So for both instances, Rashi goes back to Egypt as the source. One, the elders in Egypt are the ones who died. The shotrim from Egypt are the ones to take the place. And as I said, that is the correct understanding of Rashi. No, so that's not what Rashi says over here. A matter of fact, take a look at source number 4, back on the Pasuk, Vayaku Shotrei B'nei Yisrael, which is right, the Shotrim B'nei Yisrael, they're the ones who were involved in being beaten. HaShotrim Yisraelim Hayu V'chasim Al Chavreihem Miladichakam V'kishayu Mashlimim HaLevinim L'Logshim Shehim HaMitzriim V'yachaser Min Aschum. When they would go and give the things they needed and there was not enough, they would take the beating, they would absorb the beating, rather than the Jewish workers absorb the beating. So Rashi said it already back in Shemot. Rashi says that the former police, the former people who were the police officers in Egypt overseeing the Jews, the Jewish taskmasters who absorbed the beatings from the Egyptians, they're the ones, Rashi says right here, became the Sanhedrin. V'ne'etzal min haruach asher al Moshe, and they're the ones who then get some of the spirit that was on Moshe. V'usam aleim shenemar asfali shiv'im ish mezikne'i Yisrael me'otam sheyadata, those who you know already. It goes back to the same diuk that I told you that Rashi is concerned with all the way over here in Bamidbar. Rashi told it already in Shemot. Hatovah she'asu b'mitzrayim. What is yadata? She'adata hatovah she'asu b'mitzrayim. That you know what good deeds they did in Egypt. Ki heim zeknei ha'am v'shotrav. They are these elders and the shotrim that we are making reference to. So as I said, Rashi over here is, in both instances, going back to Egypt. By the way, there is another perceived or possible lack of consistency in Rashi. Going back on the first pasuk that we started with, Vayi Am Kimetonanim, right? In source 5, Vayi Am Kimetonanim, Rabbaz Ne Hashem, Vishmar Hashem, Vichara Apo, Vativar Bam Eish Hashem, Vatochal Bikitse Hamachane. Now, what is the Kitse Hamachane? So I would say the simplest interpretation, it means the edge of the camp. Rashi, Bikatse Hamachane, in source 6, Bimuktsin Shebahem, Lishvelut, Elu Erev Rav. Rashi's first interpretation is that the katze, one katze is the lowest, those who are the Erev Rav, the hangers-on, those who are counterfeits, those who are not really from Jewish spirit, they're the ones who start complaining. Rav Shimon ben Benasya Omer, Biktsinim Shebahem, Uvigdolim. That those who complained were actually the best of them, the leaders of them, the officers, namely the Gedolim, the greatest of them, were the ones who made the trouble. So, by the way, I could look at Rashi and say, that Rashi's contradicting himself. He's giving two interpretations which are opposite interpretations. Rashi may not be doing that. Rashi may be interpreting the word katzeh. What does the word katzeh mean? The edge. You can have mekatzeh lekatzeh. You can have from one edge to the other edge. Rashi could be saying that there is a failure in leadership at the top of the ranks, which therefore impacts those all the way at the bottom of the ranks, while the people who basically still have fidelity to Moshe and to God are the people in the middle. No. I'm saying what Rashi said. No, stop. What Rashi says here, it's two possibilities. Either Rashi is contradicting himself, and Rashi is giving two separate interpretations, and therefore he says either katzeh means one katzeh or the other katzeh, or Rashi is not contradicting himself, and Rashi is saying that when it says the word katzeh, again, in the verse it says, v'tochal b'ktzeh hamachaneh, it could be, according to Rashi, that it's both edges of the camp, and therefore that the katzeh is mimen katzeh lekatzeh, from one edge and the other edge, which means that the elders are rebelling, the weakest are rebelling, but the people in the middle are not necessarily. By the way, you know, within politics, that you would understand is that you have the fringe groups at the bottom who complain, and then you have leaders who are playing to the fringe. But basically, you have this silent majority who are okay. Marion, what did you want to say? I said that. There's two different possibilities. If you want, I'll say it again. That either they contradict or they complement one another. It sounds from Rashi, to be honest, is it that they contradict. But if they can't, but the problem with this would be, Rashi just told us in source number 4, which was again a couple verses later, that what happened to the Shotrim, Rashi says, in source number 3, what happened to the old leaders, as the Kinim Rishonim Heichan Hayu, we're the ones from Egypt. It says, Eloba Eish Tavarametu, they died. So over here, Rashi fully accepts only one of the interpretations that he gave in source number 6. Do you all see what I just now said? In source number 6, when Rashi said katzeh, he gave two possibilities, the weakest and the strongest. On the other hand, in source number 3, which is only a couple of verses away, it's in the same chapter, there Rashi says, the leaders are the ones who were killed. So apparently, it would sound to me that Rashi is, by saying katzeh, is actually saying both. Not that they're contradictory, but rather that he's really saying both. There is one question in terms of the tradition over here. In this Sifri, in source 7, it reports the opinion of Shimon ben Manasseh in the opposite position than what Rashi reported him. V'tochal b'ketzei ha-machaneh, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh omer elu ha-gerim, that's the Erev Rav, shiyu omdim b'ketzei ha-machaneh, v'Rabbi Shimon omer v'tochal b'ketzei ha-machaneh b'gdolim shebehem, uv'muktzaim shebehem. The best of the katzei would be the leaders, but he also uses the word muktzeh, the ones who are... it's interesting. Outside, it's very interesting. From the Sifri, I'm going to say it again. From the Sifri, it sounds as if it's two contradictory positions. Is it the weakest or the best? Rashi may very well mean that it's both. And as I said, a couple verses later, Rashi, when he makes reference to why does Moshe need new leaders, he goes, because the old leaders have been done away with. Okay. Now, when Rashi said that we had old leaders, which verse did he refer us to? Okay, this goes back in source 3. Rashi says, "Lech vasafta et ziknei Yisrael." That's Perek Gimel in Shmot. If you look in source number 8, you will find it, and then very quickly you'll realize if it's Perek Gimel of Shmot, that means that's all the way back by the snare. Lech vasafta et ziknei Yisrael v'amart aleihem Hashem alvotechem nira elai. Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, lech pakod pakadati etchem, v'et asui lechem b'Mitzrayim. Go and gather the elders. What's missing from this description of the elders? Something else is missing. The number 70. Which means, over here, gather 70 elders, which we're told over here. So one of the things we need to track, again, we're going to track two things. One is going to track is the existence of elders beforehand. Rashi said these are the old elders. So what happened to these elders? These over here, these elders that he, again, if you weren't clear on it, look at Rashi again in source number 3. Asafali gather, right? Vazakenima Rishonim Hechem Hayu, Valo Af Mitzrayim Yeshuimim Shanemar, Lech Vasaptid Zakne Yisrael. Right? So he quotes this verse. He goes, Elabe Esh Tavara Metu. They died by the fire that took place when? Just now in Parshat Balotcha. Right here they died. So Rashi went all the way back to Perek Gimel and saying, oh, we already had elders there, because that's the first reference that we have to Moshe's interaction with elders. Well, of course, there's no interaction here yet. It's God rather saying to gather them. In source number 9, we see Moshe and Aaron gathering them. Vayelech Moshe Aaron vayasfu et kol zeknei b'nei Yisrael, which is very similar language to over here. Go and gather the elders together. He goes and gathers the elders. And he tells them the message that God had told him. So that's Perek Dalet. Perek Hey, however, something else happens. V'achar ba'u Moshe v'Aaron, Moshe and Aaron come, v'yomur ha'paro komar Hashem elokei Yisrael, shalach et ami v'chu l'bimrar. And Rashi here poses an obvious question. V'achar ba'u Moshe v'Aaron, avol ha'zakenim, what happened to them? Nishmatu echad echad, me'achar Moshe v'Aaron. I mean, the image of Rashi over here is phenomenal. He says that Moshe and Aaron start marching towards the palace and together with the 70 elders. And one by one, they disappear till the time that Moshe and Aaron get there and they turn around. It's only Moshe and Aaron. The rest of them have all disappeared. Which, by the way, already then points an accusative finger at our elders. So again, it's interesting. Rashi is telling us that the elders here killed in Balotcha were the same elders who stood at Har Sinai and sinned. They're the same elders who were appointed already in Perek Gimel and Shemot. And they're the same elders who disappeared over here. Follow Rashi now, continue this Rashi in source 11. Right, the one by one they disappeared. They all disappeared by the time they got to the palace. Because they were afraid to go. And they got paid back by Sinai. Which means it's saying that only Moshe climbs the mountain and the other 70 remain lower below. But according to Rashi, it is the same people, and they got punished. By the way, according to Rashi, their punishment will be compounded because they will sin again at Sinai, and then they'll end up dying in Balotcha. But again, according to Rashi, I will again use that same phrase. There's a theory of conservation of elders. The same elders mentioned in Perek Gimel are the same elders mentioned in Perek Dalet, which is a very easy argument, which are the same elders mentioned at Sinai, according to Rashi, which are the same elders which are killed Bikatzei HaMachaneh in Bahalotcha. These are all the same elders all the way through. So far what we see is that already in Egypt they're not acting in a very proper way. Later Rashi will tell us that by Sinai they don't act in a very proper way, and at the end they're going to end up getting killed. Yeah. So let's continue. It's not impressive when you quote the next source. Look at source number 12 now. Vayikra Moshe, somebody less honest than you, somebody less honest than you, we can suspect it actually looking ahead. Vayikra Moshe lekol ziknei. No, in source number 12, the context is Korban Pesach. And there, Vayikra Moshe lekol ziknei Yisrael v'yomalei mishlu. And there, Moshe, after receiving instructions from God, then gives instructions to the elders of Israel. I do want to point out that in sources 9, 10, and 12, all of them use the phrase ziknei b'nei Yisrael. Sorry, in 8, 9, and 12. Ziknei Yisrael in Perek Gimel Shemot, Ziknei B'nei Yisrael in Perek Dalet Shemot, Ziknei Yisrael in chapter 12 of Shemot, and none of them use the phrase Shivim Ziknei. None of them use the number 70. The number 70 doesn't appear. In source number 13, which is when Moshe strikes the rock and gets the water, in any omei lefanecha, sham al hatzur b'chorev, v'kita batzur v'tzum imenu mayim v'shata am, v'yasu kein Moshe le'inei ziknei Yisrael. Moshe gets the water out of the rock in front of the elders. It doesn't say le'inei kol Yisrael right here. It says ziknei Yisrael. Again, it does not give a number. In Perek Yud Chet is when Yitro shows up. V'yikach Yitro chotein Moshe ola uzvachim le'elokim v'yavo Aaron v'kol ziknei Yisrael l'chel lechem l'chotein Moshe and all the elders. So again, presumably according to Rashi, in each one of these cases, Rashi will say that these are the elders, these are the 70 elders. Rashi is going to tell us it's the same number, even though I am pointing out that the number is missing. In another case, we have in source 15, which is Perek Yud Tet, V'yavo Moshe v'yikra l'ziknei ha'am, v'yasam lefneim et tzivrim eila asher tzivahu Hashem. These are the preparations to go up to Mount Sinai before we hear the Aseret HaDibrot, right back in Perek Yud Tet. Over here again, it's ziknei ha'am. The elders of the people, sometimes Ziknei Am, sometimes Ziknei Yisrael, the number 70 is never used. The first time the number 70 is used, and this may be surprising, the first time it's used is in Perek Kaf Dalet. Perek Kaf Dalet is when Moshe goes up to Har Sinai. Let's look, we'll see it a couple times over here. The El Moshe Amar, source 16. Ve'el Moshe Amar, Alei El Hashem, Atav Aron Nadav Aviu Vishivim Miziknei Yisrael. By the way, even from that phrase, I would say it's a 70 of the elders of Israel. I would claim that there are far more than 70 elders, and I would claim that the previous times when it's talked about Ziknei Yisrael, it would mean more than 70. But over here, it says Shivim Miziknei Yisrael. So who goes up? Moshe Aron Nadav Aviu and the Shivim Ziknim. Pasuk Tet in the same source, Vayamosh Abar Nodaviu, Vishivim Miziknei Yisrael. Vayiru et Elokei Yisrael, Vetachet Raglav Kamase Levanat Sapir, Ketzamashmaim Latohar, Ve'el Atzile Bnei Yisrael, Lo Shalach Yado, Vayachazu et Elokim, Vayachlu Vishtu. Now, the Atzile, we've translated in the past as the noble ones, the nobility, the aristocracy. God does not strike them down. So, being that the only ones who are mentioned here are Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, Aviu, and the Shivim Zakenim, we then have to ask ourselves, who is it referring to? So, on previous times, we've seen that Rashi tells us it is Nadav, Aviu. Now we see that Rashi says it's not just Nadav, Aviu, it's also the Zakenim. Which means Nadav, Aviu, and the Zakenim all act in the same way. They sit, and they look, and they eat, and they drink during this revelation. Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'yokam Moshe V'yoshua Mishar Tov V'yal Moshe El Har Elokim. Moshe and Yeshua go up. V'ela Zikinim Amar. By the way, notice over here it no longer says Shivim, which based on context you could say the simple understanding it is Shivim because it just referenced Shivim. Amar Shavu Lanu Bazeh Ad Asher Nashuv Aleichem. You stay down over here, which we saw Rashi say before that theoretically they were supposed to go higher up on the mountain, but you have to stay here below. Why? Because you were not willing to come to Paro, right? You weren't willing to come to Paro, so then you can't go up any higher on Har Sinai. And it's then it adds and it says, "Vel ziknim amar shuv alonu b'zeh ad asher nashuv aleichem v'nei aron v'chur imachem mibald v'rim yigash aleihem." And if there are any issues, one can approach Aaron and Chur. And of course, we know things don't work out all that well for Chur. So, again, I could ask, eventually, why are these Zakenim punished? Are they punished because of the way that they behaved, according to Rashi, are they punished because of the way that they behave in Egypt, where they don't follow Moshe? Or are they punished because of the way that they behave at Har Sinai? Now, Rashi was nuanced, and Rashi said that there's two separate punishments. The question is, what's really the connection between the punishments? One punishment is because they refused to show up by the palace. They were afraid. The other punishment is because they acted inappropriately at Sinai. They were too familiar at Sinai, and therefore they get punished later on in Baal Otcha. It seems to be that we have over here elders who want all the perks of leadership but don't want any of the responsibilities of leadership, which means they're willing to eat the food and stand in front and be around by Sinai and, you know, have this elevated and exaggerated, actually, position. They're willing to exaggerate their importance over there, which they eventually get punished for. But when it comes to responsibilities of leadership, then suddenly they disappear one after the other, unwilling to take responsibility. So as I said, when we follow through and track through the leaders all the way through, we get a picture which is not necessarily the best picture. And again, I am pointing out that Rashi does work with this theory of conservation. It's always the same people, it's the same leaders, all the way through. The Zekinim are mentioned again in Parashat Shmini. And again, here the number is not given, and that was in Surah 17. What I want to do is take a look at a couple of the Midrashim now, because we saw how Rashi deals with it. I want to look at a couple of Midrashim which Rashi could have used, which means, again, Rashi is using Chazal, and has a very, very clear approach, but I do want to show you there were other alternative approaches which some of the Midrashim adopted. Source 18. Asfali shivim ish, gather for me 70 people, v'heichan hayu rishonim. Again, this was the question that Rashi began with. What happened to the other elders? Ad shayu b'mitzrayim hayolahem shivim zekenim, shenemar leich v'safta et zeknei Yisrael, v'imom yatsum mitzrayim, k'shol Moshe l'kabel t'torah, hayu imo shenema, v'yamo shavon aviyu v'shivim zeknei Yisrael. Now you realize all those Rashis I just now put together, it's two lines in the Midrash. It's 70 elders there. It's 70 elders here. It is the same all the way through. So far, source 18 is supportive of Rashi. But then it makes an interesting deviation when you turn the page. When Moshe disappears, when he goes up the mountain, what were we told? If there's a problem, go to Hur and go to Aaron. What happens? Nichnusu kol Yisrael etzel hazakenim. All of the people, they go to the elders. Va'omru lehem Moshe t'nai imanu sheirad l'sof arba'im yom v'arei sheish sha'ot yoter v'lo yarad v'einu d'mahiyelo. They come to the elders and they complain, we don't know where Moshe is. And then they say, kuma se'lenu Elohim asher yichlof aneinu kizeh Moshe isha aleinu meretz Yitzrayim lo yodanu mahiyelo. Kaven sheshemu kach amru lahem ma etemach isim lemish asalachem kol tam nisim avlod v'lo shamu lahem v'hargum. That over here, before they get to Hur, they killed the 70 elders that were standing at Sinai. Ulefish amad Hur kenegdam bedvarim kashim amdu alav od v'hargu nichnusu kol Yisrael la'aron, and then they all come to Aaron, and Aaron already sees what has happened, and Aaron gives in. Again, this gives a different picture than what we're normally used to. Normally we're used to, they all go to Hur, straight to Hur, kill Hur, then Aaron capitulates. Over here it says that first they murder the 70 elders, and then they murder Hur, and then they get to Aaron, and at that point Aaron backs down. By the way, this does give us somewhat of a better alibi, not an alibi, but a motivation for Aaron to behave the way that he does. But it's very interesting, because this started the exact same way that Rashi starts, but then he gives a different, completely different interpretation, basically saying, when did we last see these 70 elders? We last see them at Sinai. So now we have a problem. What's the problem? The problem is, why does Moshe have to appoint a new 70 elders? So now if you start to think, it does use the term elders subsequently to Sinai, but I do not believe it ever uses the number 70 after Sinai. The number 70 was only used at Sinai, not used in any other place. It uses the word elders before, it uses the word elders after, but the number 70 was only there by Sinai, which is also interesting. Why 70 by Sinai? That's ultimately a question we need to deal with. But according to this Midrash, those 70 who stood by Sinai, they were murdered because they tried to protect, they tried to fight against those who wanted to make the Egel. On the other hand, we have in Source 19 another Midrash, again, very similar place, Asfali, go gather for me. Weren't there already elders before that? It says by Har Sinai, Moshe v'Adam v'Yehu, right? And the Shivim Zekenim. So what happened? So basically, we have in the Midrash two different approaches. Do we compare these Zakenim to Hur, who remains this mysterious hero who fights against those who want to make the Egel, or do we compare them to Nadav Avihu, who end up getting burnt by fire, and therefore they get burnt by fire, and then you realize that, you know, on a poetic level, or a literary level, we end up giving the same punishment both to Nadav Avihu and to the Zakenim. So the question is, who are they to be associated with? But according to both approaches, they do disappear. And therefore it says, and after time they disappear, where it's underlined a little bit later, what does it mean, Asaf Suf? Rabbi Shimon ben Avram, Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, Echad Amar Elu Hagerim, Shalu Emim Mitzrayim, Venasum Imam, Shinemar, Vagam Erev Avalaram, Ve'echad Me'em Amar, Ve'asaf Suf Elu Asanhedrin, Shinemar, Asafali Shivim. So it says the word Asaf Suf is similar to the Asafa. And therefore, the Midrash is noticing that the Asafa is to replace the Asaf Suf. Over here you notice, by the way, that the two opinions mentioned in the Sifri are saying one said this and one said that. So it sounds like Rashi had this text in front of him and not the Sifri, and he figured whoever said the first opinion was first, whoever the second opinion is second. But as I said in the Sifri, there it says one says one says the other, and then the opinions are inversed. Okay, not the biggest thing. The Midrash Tanchuma spells out what we saw before in the other Midrash as well. Didn't they have elders before? Skip again to where it's underlined. And it goes and it spells out what Rashi had quoted before about they're the ones who were beaten, where it's bold, two lines in the bottom. It's better for us to be beaten. Riboni, you know, my master. Eini odeya mi ra'oyu mi eini ra'oyu. Amar lei, asher yadata, those who you already know. Again, that was a problem in the text. Asher yadata. Right? Ki hem zeknei ha'am v'shotrav. Otama zekeinim v'shotrim shemasru atzmam l'lokot aleim b'mitzrayim. Leaders, rather, if I make the contrast, the original leaders, according to Rashi, right, were the ones who, when it came, and also the Midrash, when it came time to go in front of power, they ran away. There were other leaders who didn't run away, rather they absorbed the beating. The ones who absorbed the beating, they displayed leadership. Again, they paid the price. They're the ones who are the real leaders. They're the ones who I want appointed now. Right? That who's the one who eventually gets leadership? The person who's willing to pay the price and the person who sacrifices himself. Leadership is not the one who's most prepared to get the perks. Leadership is the one who's willing to sacrifice himself the most for the people. Right? And again, as I said, this Midrash is very clear. Now, there's this whole other side of things which a number of commentaries, especially from the Balei HaTosfot, but we'll see through the Ramban, and by the time we finish, we'll see that Rashi himself will say this, just as I said, a question if you remember it or not. And they ask a different question, which may or may not be related. The question they ask is, why the number 70? Why was the number 70 picked? So if you look at source 21, the Chizkuni says, Esfali Shivim Ish, choose for me 70 people. Keneged Shivim Nefesh, Yerdu Avotein B'Mitzrayim. It is compared to the 70 people who went down to Egypt. Vishivim Zekenim B'Matan Torah. and it is compared to the 70 elders who were there at Matan Torah. V'shiv'im mishpachot ha-menuyot b'parshat Pinchas, and the 70 families mentioned in Pinchas, u'misham ve'elach haitas sanhedrin gdola shiv'im. And from that point onward, the number 70 was always chosen for the number of the Sanhedrin. The Balei HaTosfot, in source 22, asfali shivim ish, tema, v'lama shivim ish, why 70? By the way, you realize I'll only ask this question if they have an answer. Yesh lomu d'dekach tziv HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'mnot shivim k'neged shivim nefesh yirdu, shev nefesh Yisrael shirdu l'mitzrayim, that 70 people went down to Egypt. The Balei Turim, asfali shivim ish, k'neged shivim nefesh yirdu l'mitzrayim, k'neged shivim umot, there are seven nations of the world, shivim shemot sheyesh lo kadosh baruch hu, and the 70 names of God, ve'elohein, and you can look in the Balei Turim, he'll give you 70 names of God. I did not quote them all, rather. Those are within the three dots which are there. The Ramban, asfali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael, kfar hiski rabotenu, kishivim umotem bishivim lashon. There were 70 nations and there are 70 languages. Again, 70 always becomes a representative number of the nations of the world. So let's see how the Ramban explains it. V'yesh l'kol echad v'echad mazal b'rakia v'sar l'mala ki nishanema b'daniel. We'll skip that a little bit. Right. V'amru ki parei hachag yirmizu bahem. And the number of offerings which are brought on Sukkot are 70 offerings, which are there connected, parallel to the 70 nations of the world, which he says are parallel to 70 forces which exist within the heavenly realm. Ubipirkei Rabbi Lezer, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu l'shiv'im malachim hasovavim kisei kvodo. In Pirkei Lezer, it tells us there are 70 angels who were called upon. These are the 70 angels who surround God's throne. Bo v'nitbalvel l'shonam. So the reason that the nations were divided into 70, I don't know, by the way, I don't know if you remember where there were 70. If you count at the end of Parshat Noach, all of the descendants that are mentioned over there, it comes out to 70. There are 70 different families which are mentioned. The 70 families which are mentioned over there are the 70 nations of the world. So over here, the Pirkei Lezer says, why 70? So you could say, because there are 70 people mentioned, and therefore 70 nations. And he says, no. Is that the reason that there were 70? Because there were 70 angels that surround the throne of God. And these 70 angels, continue with the Ramban, U'lecheneya misparidir mitzrayim shivim. And that's why there are 70 Jews going down into Egypt because of the 70 nations, because of the 70 angels. V'tziva misparizeh b'shoftei Yisrael, and therefore it was chosen among the what we later call the Sanhedrin, or the elders, there are 70. Ki ha-mispar hazeh, this number 70, the Ramban tells us, yichlol kol ha-deot b'yoto kolel kol ha-kochot. The number 70 includes within it all wisdom, and includes within it all power. Because the number 70 represents the 70 angels, which represent the 70 angels surrounding God's throne. V'lo yiflemehem kol davar, and nothing escapes from them. V'chein b'matan Torah v'shivim izeknei Yisrael. And therefore, b'matan Torah, there had to be 70. That's why the Rabban telling us the number 70 is introduced over there. Ki ra'ui b'mispar ha-shalem hazeh, because when you gather 70 elders, it creates a parallel to what exists in heaven surrounding God's throne. So when you want the Shechina to rest below, you need to create a parallel to what exists above. Because for Israel, it is the army of God below. Just like the various other elements, including the Mishkan, including the Kaporet, including all other, the flags, these things represent certain spiritual truths which exist in heaven. The same thing is true of the number 70. Moshe al gabe shivim zekenim, remez li Yisrael shul goy echad ba'aretz. And Moshe, with the other 70, is representative to this unity of Israel, one nation on earth. The Ramban over here, again, very often he stays away from the more mystical things, only hints at it. Over here, he's actually hinting at more things, but he gave us quite enough. Rabbeinu Bachaye, in source 12, which again is generally the Rabbeinu Bachaye echoes the Ramban, again, on the same verse, 70 elders, v'nira ki afa pisha skir ata asfali, and now it's just to gather, k'far yuam yisro b'mitzrayim shivim zekinim. In Egypt, there are 70 elders. Again, a point that was not mentioned in Egypt. It never said 70 there. K'mi az biyom sheyardu, miyom sheyardu l'mitzrayim shivim nefesh. From the day the Jews came down to Egypt, as 70 souls, v'nishtalcha habracha b'zra'im minui aleim shivim zekinim lahanigam ulelamdem chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim. From the day that they came to Egypt with 70, they always kept 70 elders. They always would appoint 70. Kayu chachamim gedolim mikublei ha'avot. They were wise in their tradition from the forefathers. V'yodim ki shivim nefesh yudigma. And they knew that the 70 was a model. Ulekach minu aleihem b'mitzrayim shivim zekinim. And therefore, they appointed 70 elders. Again, all this it doesn't say in the text. But Rabbeinu Bachaye, who found the Ramban, is so convinced that the number 70 is significant, he says that from the day they went down to Egypt, there was always 70, and therefore when it says, God says to Moshe, go and gather the elders, of course it's 70. V'usha katuv, v'asavta et zeknei Yisrael, v'ayu shivim, it was 70 there. V'ahim ayu b'matan Torah, and there was where it does say 70. As it says, v'ayu Moshe, v'arov v'nadavi, v'shiv mizeknei Yisrael. Umashe skir kan asafali shivim ish, and over here that it says gathered me 70 men, hayu acherim shenevcheru atami chadash. These are new ones chosen ki otan shivim zakenim shamatan Torah meitu b'tav era ki yiruuyim l'shlichat yad misinai ulekachutz rachloma sheyosof otami chadash. The old 70 were killed because they already deserved to die at Sinai. Umashe amar asher atayadata ki heim ziknei am kloma sheyu michlal. Michlalam otam, hashotrim shayu b'mitzrayim, shiulokim al hatzibur, umiyom shayurdu l'mitzrayim shivim nefesh, lo chadal hamispar hazem Yisrael, lo b'midbar, v'lo b'arit rishon, b'sheni. Which means, what Rabbeinu Bachaye does is, again, he takes the same idea of the Ramban, which we saw is based upon the Pirkei Avot Rabbi Elazar, and he says the number 70 represents a spiritual truth, and this number, the spiritual truth, follows all the way through, whether they're called Hazakenim, whether they're called the 70 elders, whether they're later called the Sanhedrin, and he says, follow it through, you'll see this was the case all the way through by Bayit Rishon, all the way through by Bayit Sheni. It's number 70, always has to be, because that is the totality of knowledge and of Shekhinah and of holiness, and therefore this is the way it has to be. Now, the one thing that I would assume struck some of you is that we just now made a major shift, and it sounds like we're talking about very Kabbalistic ideas, and of course we would then ask ourselves, and where does this Kabbalistic idea come from? And the truth is, it's a pasuk in the Chumash. So it's always surprising to see that you can have something which I'm calling a Kabbalistic idea, and you're agreeing with me is a Kabbalistic idea, may actually be black and white in the Chumash. There was a problem in the beginning of Bayit Sheni. And the problem was that until that point, you would appoint the 70, and if somebody died, then another person took their place. One died, one was replaced. What happened was, and I'm explaining to you the way that I saw in Rabbi Reuven Margoliot, that seems to be to make a great deal of sense. He said when they came back for Bayit Sheni, they had a problem, is that they basically had a couple of people that were still worthy, but they, who do you include, who you don't include? It wasn't just replacing one, it was replacing the vast majority of it. So what they did, by the Anshe Knesset Agdola, is they basically gathered everybody who was in the ballpark. And according to one opinion, there was 250, according to another opinion, it was 120. The Knesset that we have today is based upon the 120. Thank God they didn't know about the Yerushalmi that says there were 250. We'd have more people that we would be looking for perks. Then there's an interesting phrase in Pirkei Avot. Shimon HaTzadik Mishayrei Knesset Agdolaya. So Reuven Margoliot explains that they started with 120 because that was basically anybody who was worthy, more or less, they put in, but they didn't replace them. So then they went down, when somebody died, it went to 119, 118, 120. It means they waited till they died off till they got to the number 70. When they got to the number 70, then they started replacing people again. And he says, that's the meaning of Mishairei Knesset Agdola. So there was one generation where they basically gathered everyone together. That's called, and therefore they gave a different name to it, Anshe Knesset Agdola, gathering everybody together, but then returned back to 70, and then the 70 continued. They also had, you know, a great deal of things they needed to do at that point, but if you'll ask, you know, why deviate from the 70, that's his explanation, because basically the tradition was broken and it was very difficult. And by the way, today, if you wanted to make a Sanhedrin today, how would you do it? Who are you going to choose? You're basically in an impossible situation. It seems to me sometimes that, you know, if we had a Sanhedrin, then we could bring Mashiach, but I think it's the other way around. We need Mashiach to be able to say who should be sitting in the Sanhedrin. But as I started to say, there's a verse. So let's take a look. You don't want to see the verse. You don't want to see the verse.
No, I want. There's another 70 that you didn't mention.
Yeah.
The 70 years of man. We have also that 70.
Right.
What? How does that play in the?
It doesn't. That's why I didn't mention it.
It doesn't.
Look at source number 26. This was already referenced by a couple of us. And this is not the only place it says it. It said in Bereshit as well. This is the beginning of Shemot. It says, "V'yi kol nefesh yotze yerech Yaakov shivim nefesh v'yosef hayabim Mitzrayim." Which, by the way, also now is like a 71. Yeah, it's also like a 71 then. It's also like but 70 people come down. Here's the Pasuk I was referring to before. Pasuk is in Sefer Devarim, Perek Lamed Bet. I'll read it in Hebrew, and then we'll try to translate it. Bahanchel Elyon Goyim, Bahafridu Bnei Adam, Yatsev Gvulot Amim, Lemispar Bnei Israel. Ki Chelek Hashem Amo, Yaakov Chevel Nachalato. So, I will read to you a translation. Bahanchel Elyon Goyim, when the Most High, Elyon, when the Almighty, it doesn't say Almighty is Elokim, but Behanchel Elyon, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance. Behanchel Elyon Goyim, when God gave the Nachala to the various nations of the world. Again, Behanchel Elyon Goyim, when God gave the inheritance to the nations of the world. Behafrido Bnei Adam, what does Behafrido mean? When he separated them. So when did he separate them? When does the separation take place? What are we talking about? When? By Babel, by the Tower of Babel. How many people were there then? That's when you find the number 70. Which means, again, that's exactly where, if you count the descendants there, by the Tower of Babel, when the nations get spread about, there are 70 at that point. Why was the number 70 chosen? Look what it says in this pasuk. Again, Behanchel Elyon Goyim Behafrido Bnei Adam, when God gave inheritance to the nations of the world and he divided them up, Yatsev Gvulot Amim Lemispar, he established borders of the nations according to a number of Bnei Israel, according to the number of the children of Israel. Now, just in case that verse was not understandable to you, now look at Rashi. L'mispar b'nei Yisrael, b'shvil mispar b'nei Yisrael, sha'atidim letzeit mibnei Shem. According to the number of Jews who will eventually come out of Shem, who's one of the 70, u'l'mispar shiv'im nefesh o b'nei Yisrael, sh'yodur Mitzrayim, hitziv gvulot amim, shiv'im lashon. So Rashi over here says that the eventual number of Jews who will go down to Egypt was the number of nations of the world and languages that was established at that particular time. And by the way, if you ask Rashi where you got that from, Rashi's saying, read the Pasuk. That's exactly what the Pasuk says. The nations were divided according to a number, according to the number of Israel. Now, by the way, when I say the number of Israel, so which number of Israel? I can say there's 600,000. I can say that there's how many Jews there have been in the history of the world. Rashi over here is saying, no, the number of Israel is an established number. That's the number 70. That's the number who went down to Egypt. And therefore, the 70 nations of the world. Again, how does Rashi know it's 70? Because what does it say? When they were divided. At which point were they divided? That was by the Tower of Babel. At which, how many families do we see then? We see 70 families. So we see 70 families then. We have 70 families, 70 nations, 70 languages. And by the way, all this now is very familiar to us from the Pirkei Elazar, who you now is realizing what the Pirkei Elazar is doing. It's essentially taking this pasuk, again, it's taking the verse, again, it does take it and put some steroids to it and explains it a little bit more. But essentially what I'm going to insist again is that this Rashi, it's just explaining the words. It says, when God took the nations of the world and divided them up and created boundaries, he did it according to the number of Israel. So I know the number then was 70, so now I just have to go and search and see when is the number of Israel 70? The number of Israel 70, when they go off into exile, which by the way is a certain parallel, because in a sense the 70 nations were going into exile at that point and they're going to different places. Now when the Jews go off into exile, we have the same number, there's 70 descendants.
So every Jew was against the whole nation.
Yes, you got a lot of work to do. If you look,
and then where does
if you look at one more verse in source 29, Bereshit Lamed Hey, Vayera Elokim el Yaakov, Obdavo mi padan Aram, Vayavarechoto. Vayomel Elokim Shemcha Yaakov, Lo Yikare Shemcha Od Yaakov, Ki Im Yisrael, Yeshemecha Vikret Shemo Yisrael. So we're familiar with this. This is when God changes Yaakov's name. Vayomer Lo Elokim, Anikel Shaddai, Pere Urve, Goy Ukahal, Pere Ve, you should become numerous, Goy Ukahal Goyim Yemi Mecca. You will become a nation, you will become a great congregation. But by the way, it's very wordy. Right? Right? It's already said goy. What does it mean? Goy ukahal goyim. Right? As I said, it's too many words. A nation and a congregation of nations. Goy ukahal goyim yemimcha. Look at Rashi. Goy ukahal goyim, shegoyim atidim banav leasot, kiminyan hagoyim shem shivim umot, that the number of Jews, your descendants, will become the same as the 70 nations, v'chein kol ha-Sanhedrin shivim, and likewise every group of the elders of the Sanhedrin is 70. So here you see that Rashi already said it himself, all the way back in Bereshit. Of course, the problem is that we don't have good memories, so we don't remember all the places that Rashi said it. And now you realize that when you put these Rashis together, you realize that Rashi is not so far off from the Ramban that we saw. That the number 70 is a deliberate number. The number 70 of the Jews is directly parallel to the number 70 of the nations of the world. And therefore, you know, the role of the Jews is to impact the nations of the world. Yes, one Jew for one nation, which is a little daunting. But then Rashi continued and says, and that's why we have Sanhedrin. By the way, why throw Sanhedrin into this? He goes, no. It seems to be the same idea that the Ramban quoted before, the same idea that Ramban, the Rabbeinu Bechai, and so on. There is this concept that the Shekhinah rests in the Jewish people. There is this concept that the Shekhinah rests among the Sanhedrin. I am definitely putting words in Rashi's mouth over here. But what I am going to insist is that, you know, this Rashi is not all that different from what we were seeing from the other sources. And as I said, we tend not to remember all of these places. And now you understand why Rashi kept on insisting that there were 70, because Rashi is saying, no, they're always, the number 70 is a significant number. The number 70 is significant in terms of the number of people. The number 70, therefore, is significant in terms of the elders. And therefore, we find that the first group of elders, even though the number 70 isn't given, Rashi said is 70. Those are the same elders that stood at Har Sinai. Those are the same elders who were killed by the fire that goes out to the edge of the camp. And those are the elders that need to be replaced within our parsha. Why does it always need to be 70? So that we got from the Ramban already. The Ramban explained to us in a much clearer terms that the number 70 represents the angels that surround God's throne. This is the totality of power. So therefore, the totality of power is diffused in terms of all the nations of the world. It's the totality of wisdom, which is diffused among all the nations of the world. And basically, we have the Jews paralleling God's throne and the nations of the world paralleling God's throne. And therefore, you have the nations of the world and the Jews, each one in competition in terms of the totality of knowledge. On the one hand, this necessity, therefore, for the number 70 always to be there, we now understand. But we also understand that number 70 is where Shekhinah rests. What's interesting is that even though the Shekhinah rests among the 70, it doesn't always guarantee good behavior. And that's what's interesting. We saw within the Midrashim conflicting approaches. One approach says that what happened to these 70 by Sinai, they were killed by the mob who were looking to make the golden calf. And they, the same way that Hur normally gets the credit, they also stood up. And that is interpreting the 70 in a very positive way. They basically, they're the ones, again, who absorbed the wrath of the masses there. So therefore, they may still have, they died al-Kiddush Hashem, so the Shekhinah is still there. According to the other approach, they acted inappropriately, which according to Rashi is actually echoes the inappropriate behavior that took place by Egypt. There the inappropriate behavior begins when, as I said, the responsibility is there. Come and stand up and come to Paro. They all disappear one after the other. But by Sinai, they were all there, eating from the buffet and enjoying themselves. And therefore, they, as I said earlier, that the perks of leadership they were ready for, but the responsibilities of leadership they weren't ready for, they then get replaced, not ironically, but very specifically, then they get replaced by the real heroes in Egypt, the ones who absorbed the pain in Egypt of the whips and the sticks and the fists of the Egyptians. They're the ones. And that, by the way, as I said, is I'm not going to say is pshat, but may very well be pshat. And therefore, it's said in our pasuk, it says, Ish mizikne Yisrael, asher yadata, ki he mizikne am vishotrav. It says, the ones you know, who are the elders, who are those, you know, police officers, which really does point all the way back over there to the others. So essentially, the leaders who only want the perks get replaced, and the leaders who stand there and take responsibility and suffer for the people, they're the ones who can now be leaders. Moshe, who speaks of himself as he says the one thing a man is never allowed to say, he says, I'm like a pregnant woman, right? And I went through childbirth. I mean, that's sacred, and a man is never allowed to say that my pain is like childbirth. Moshe says this, but apparently Moshe absorbed a great deal of pain for the people of Israel, so therefore the only people who can really join Moshe over here are other people who have absorbed pain. And that then goes back to those who in Egypt who absorb pain, even though for some reason they get a really bad rap sometimes as being capos and bad people, and something that we've spoken about before. Over here, it seems to be that they're the exact people. What we see within Rashi, is, and I said this all the way through, we have this theory of conservation of characters, the same ones all the way through, and it does create, I think, a very interesting narrative, the way that Rashi puts it all together. There were other possibilities to explain it, but when we get to this deeper point, which is ultimately the question, why the number 70, then we saw something else which was interesting. The number 70 was very specific. Yeah. It says that korbanot were brought by the foot of Sinai. So apparently it's from those korbanot, and the wine and the libations and so on. But the number 70, therefore, becomes important because, as I said, this is a pasuk and dvarim. You can't do anything with the pasuk. It's a pasuk and dvarim which merges together. Right? That's a pasuk. This is right there. It merges together the number of Jews who go down to Egypt with the number of the nations of the world who get spread about, telling you right there that there is, in fact, a parallel. That's something which is interesting that we may have thought was just a midrashic connection between them. That quote-unquote midrashic connection is right there as Pshat and the Chumash, and therefore, at that point, Rashi had no choice but to tell us that there, therefore, is a parallel between the Jews and the nations of the world in terms of this number 70. And as we saw, the Ramban saw things as in a much deeper issue in terms of its holiness.